4,000 people that went there, and they would do dramas each week instead of preaching, do dramas. And, you know, when this preacher said Sunday's going to be back to baloney, y'all know better than that, right? And if you're visiting here today, I'm telling you, you need to be here. I'm telling you, he preaches the Word of God, and that's what we need. So if you don't have a church home, or if you're going to church that doesn't preach anymore, you know, you need to be here, because we need that preaching in our lives. And he said he gave pastors for the purpose of perfecting the saints. And we come here and we want the Word of God to work on us and to perfect us. And also, I like it when a preacher just preaches right to me and lets the Word of God work on you, so don't you miss it. But they did all the dramas there. And so I thought about putting a sign in front of our church that said, "We still preach the Word because life has enough drama." You know? And, you know, we'd have some that would come over every so often. And one guy said it better than I ever could have regarding the music that they've got. You know, all the contemporary and the praise worship up there swaying back and forth. But he came to our church. He said it better than I ever could have. He said, "You know, when I go over there, I feel good. When I come here, I feel God. I'd much rather feel God than feel good." And I tell you, it's not feeling good that's going to change your life. It's meeting with God that's going to change your life. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this church and the man of God that God has sent this way and his dear wife. And you know that they are heirs together in this thing and labor together. And it's a special thing to be a preacher's wife. I got a whole message I preach on the pastor's wife. And they're often in the shadows, you know. Matter of fact, you did not know Peter had a wife, except for Jesus healed his mother-in-law. And you're not going to get a mother-in-law without a wife. That would be dumb, you know. And so we don't do stupid here. Is that one of the statements right now? We don't do stupid. But they're in the shadows. And if they are pulled out from under the shadows, they're usually put under a microscope. You know, just trying to find. You know, it's amazing to me. God gave qualifications for a pastor and a deacon and a deacon's wife, but nothing about the pastor's wife. That doesn't mean she's free to live like she wants. But I think he just knew people didn't want to give you any ammunition. You know, because if she is looked at, it's placed under a microscope. And you know, the amazing thing about a preacher's wife, you know, they a lot of times didn't ask for the position. Did you know when you married him he's going to be a preacher? No clue. My wife didn't either. No clue. And somebody told our children one time, "I think it's terrible, you know, that your dad has you in church every night. I think it's terrible." And he got to one of them. They come up and said, Dad, you know, we think it's terrible. We have to be in church every night." And I said, "Son, I'm a preacher. If I was a hog farmer, guess where you'd be every night? You better thank God I'm a preacher, you know." So, yeah. But you know, she's willing to, you know, our wives see us at our worst. And a preacher's wife is willing to set all that aside and still get something from God when we stand up and preach. That's quite a gift in itself, you know. She encourages the one that encourages you, you know. And she's worthy of your respect and honor and love and appreciation. And I trust you do. I trust you love your preacher, you love his wife and the family, and you stand with them. You know, don't stand behind them. I got all kinds of scars back here from people that are behind me. And over the years, but stand with them, labor together, and look forward to see what God. You wouldn't be good. The best days are yet ahead for Berean Baptist Church, and just stand with them, labor together. We appreciate so much the privilege of being here this week. My wife and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. Man, the lodging is great. The view is wonderful. It's all kinds of deer out here. I was going to bag one, but I thought I better not. But all kinds of deer. I borrowed those arrows, but he took them back. So anyway. But it's just beautiful out here. We just thoroughly enjoyed this. And in fact, he talked about, you know, baloney on Sunday. My real thinking was, you know, you got a preacher, you know, and my real thinking is, what am I doing here, you know? But we're just glad we were able to get a part of what you've got going on here. We thoroughly enjoyed it. The fellowship. Preacher, thank you so much for taking time to fellowship with us and things we've done. And we just appreciate it. Good to know them a little better. And even taking time for Levi along the way. But we felt sorry for him. I understand that. You know, he's our project for the next few weeks. We've enjoyed that. I'm glad we get to take some of our grandchildren with us. That's how we even blessed even more is if they want to come. You know, that's a big blessing. So we're so thankful. But thank you for everything. Thank you for the love offering. I have no idea what it is, but I promise you this. It's more than I'm worth. But so we just thank you so much for all that you've done. Joshua chapter 24 this evening. Book of Joshua chapter 24. Familiar portion of Scripture. That's the best you know. Wouldn't it be good if you could say that about any Scripture you open up to? Familiar portion of Scripture. Joshua chapter number 24. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 1. This is probably, we get down to verse 15, probably one of the most familiar verses in the Word of God. One of the most popular verses in the Word of God, certainly. Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwell on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued to Egypt, according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you to the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over over Jordan, and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Father, again, thank you for the privilege we have once again to be gathered in this place. And dear God, this being the last night of the scheduled meeting, we desperately need you to move amongst us. So, Father, I pray your people, their hearts will be attentive this evening. God, I pray for those that don't know you as Savior. Dear God, this be the day you convict their heart and they trust the finished work on Calvary. Father, we pray you'd help us tonight. Give us liberty, clarity of thought, scripture recall, illustrations, anything that might be a help. Do that work only you can. And I promise we'll give you the praise for what's done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua's reminding the children of Israel of the goodness of God. He gathers them all together, the Bible says, and he begins to remind them of the good things that God has done for them. How he took Abraham from the other side of the floods when they had served other gods. And he just begins to tell them all the good things that God has done for them. Matter of fact, we could probably spend a lot of time tonight just thinking about and talking about all the good things that God has done for us. I mean, the day he saved my soul, that was a good day. And since that day, man, I can look and just see over and over all the good things that God has done for us. He really is a good God. And some of the times I didn't understand what was going on, but when you get on the other side, you realize, you know, he really does know what he's doing, and he's a good God. And we can spend a lot of time talking about the goodness of God and the grace of God and all the good things that he's done. And Joshua's reminding the people of God of how good God has been to them. And then he said in verse number 14, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." He said, God's been a good God to you. Would you agree with that tonight? Amen. And he said, because he's been a good God to you, you ought to serve him. Amen. Matter of fact, now therefore, because of this, because God has been so good to you, you ought to serve him in sincerity and in truth. In that, he talks about being sincere in what you do. You know, I want to be real in this thing, don't you? That's one of the things I think I mentioned the other day is sometimes people will say about our children serving the Lord, what's the key? And honestly, like I say, we were first generation Christians. Probably a lot of things we do different if we could go back and do over again. But one thing we always tried to be was real. We weren't perfect, but we were real. This was real to us. Church was real to us. And the Bible was real to us. And God was real to us. Prayer is real to us. I mean, this is not just something we do. This is who we are. This is real to us. But he said to serve him in sincerity and in truth. And I don't want to be real in what I do, but I want to be right in what I do. You can be sincere and be wrong. Now, in fact, you're going to find out a lot of people sincerely wrong. He even says about salvation, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. And a lot of people trust in a lot of different things to get them to heaven, and they're sincere in what they're doing, but they're wrong. So I not only want to be real in what I do, I want to be right in what I do. I want to make sure I line up with the Word of God. Somebody said one time, I heard a preacher a while back, he said, I'm just too old to learn anything new. I'm too old to change. And I thought, not me, buddy. If you can show it to me from the Word of God, I want to line up with it. I want to be right in what I do. I want to make sure it's pleasing unto Him. Lee and I, we've had a talk this week. One of the key verses we've centered in on is, you know, when you study to show yourself approved, not others disapproved. And to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And if you'll study in that way, He'll help you to rightly divide the word of truth. And so we talked a lot about, you know, the reason to study is, God, I want you to speak to my heart. And I want to be real in what I do. I want to be right in what I do. And so He said, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And if that seems evil unto you, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he makes this famous speech, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is probably one of the most popular verses in the Word of God. Matter of fact, probably more scripture plaques are made of Joshua 24:15 than any other verse in the Word of God. I mean, John 3:16, maybe a more popular verse, but I don't know if there's more scripture plaques than Joshua 24:15. In fact, how many of you in here and out there tonight have this verse or portion of this verse? Either ask for me in my house, we will serve, or choose you this day. How many of you have a portion of this hanging somewhere within your house? Several. In homes I go in, many of you'll see it. I've seen portions of it in the preacher's home and with our home and you'll see it in many homes. Usually it's on the wall right next to Malachi 3, where it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Okay, maybe that plaque never sold, but it is just as much Bible as Joshua 24:15. And probably the most familiar verses in the Word of God, but I think a lot of times we've missed the real meaning of that verse. You know, Joshua makes a statement, choose this day whom you'll serve. And the term this day is found over 300 times in the Bible. They really did in Bible days, live day by day. They get in the marketplace and be hired and they pray, give us this day our daily bread. And Jesus said, this day is salvation. Come to your house. And such. And Joshua said, choose to this day whom you will serve. And we a lot of times put the emphasis on the urgency on making a decision on this day. And certainly that is there. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know heaven's your home, it is an urgent thing that you make a choice today. I mean, it's a dangerous thing to put this thing off. You're one heartbeat away from hell. It's a dangerous thing. If you're not right with God, it is vital important. You make a choice today to get things right. Because tomorrow never settles things. And you do it when God's speaking to your heart. And there is an importance on doing things on this day. But as I look at this, Joshua is an old man at this point. Matter of fact, he's 110 years of age. This is the last recorded event in the life of Joshua. Just a few verses after this, he's going to die. And so he calls together all the heads of the people. He calls together the Israelites. He reminds them of how good God has been for them, to them. And he makes that speech, choose you this day whom you will serve. He's not, and he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's not just now making that choice in his life. He's 110. He's about to die. He made that choice a long time ago. It's not just making a choice on this day that Joshua's talking about. He's talking about making a choice for this day. What are you going to do with this day? Choose you this day whom you'll serve. I could say that there was a day when I chose to serve the Lord, and many could say that's the day that I made this choice or this choice or this choice. But to look at their life today, you'd never know that choice was ever made in their life. It's not just about making a choice on a day, it's about making a choice for this day. I believe every day Joshua got up, he said, "Dear God, I choose this day to serve you." No wonder Joshua served him his whole life. This Christian life, it's really not a difficult thing. You say, "Well, I don't know if I can live this way." No, it's just a matter of choosing to serve him today. And then tomorrow, just choosing to serve him again. And the next day, choosing to serve him again. And before you know it, you served him a week. And you served him a month. And you served him a year. And the year turns into several years down the road just by choosing each day to serve him. You know, backsliding doesn't happen overnight. It just takes one day of not choosing to serve him. Somebody said one time, you Baptists, you believe in backsliding. I said, we not only believe in it, we practice it. In fact, somebody commented about, I've got suspenders and a belt. They said, are you insecure? No, this is eternal security right here. This keeps me from backsliding. Anyway. Between the day I was born again and the day that I go to meet Jesus, he gives me several 24-hour periods. What am I going to do with each of those? In the morning will be a new day. What am I going to do with that day that God gives me? And so the important thing of getting up each morning saying, I choose this day to serve him. And he says, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord. Doesn't that seem like a strange thing? If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord? The word evil means not good or pleasant. If this is not desirable unto you, if this doesn't appear to be enjoyable, you know, there's a lot of people that are saved that serving the Lord just doesn't seem like a pleasant thing to them. Still wrapped up in self. If it seems evil unto you, the word evil is where we get our word inconvenient. If it's inconvenient for you to serve the Lord, if serving Him interrupts with your plans in life, you say, "Preacher, I've got plans for my life." He's got plans for your life too. I've got goals in my life. He's got goals in your life too. And really, serving Him is just a matter of making a list of everything you want in life. Here's what I want in life. Here's my plans, my goals, and my dreams. And then saying, "Dear God, I'll trade this for whatever you have for me." He did not come to help you in your plans. But we treat God that way. We've got our plans, and then we've got God to help us and bless us and what we want to do. He did not come to help you in your plans. He came to use you in His plans. But it seems inconvenient unto you. I mean, the preacher gets up and says, "Man, you ought to be here for Sunday school. You ought to be here Sunday morning. You ought to be here Sunday night. You ought to be here Wednesday night." And you say, "Preacher, you're preaching to Wednesday night to people that are out here under a building. You're preaching to the choir." I've learned over the years the choir needs preached to. And when he says, "You ought to be here all the time," that seems inconvenient. I mean, he's just asking too much. It's a word where we get our word unreasonable. If it seems unreasonable to serve the Lord, then what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with the day? Matter of fact, he said, "The same evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve." What are you going to do with this day? And really, there's three options that are laid out. Tomorrow morning starts another day. What are you going to do with that day? He gives three options. Look, if you would, with me in verse 15. "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, if it doesn't seem like a good thing, a pleasant thing, not enjoyable, if it's inconvenient, if it's unreasonable, or you think it's unjust, if it seems evil to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served or on the other side of the flood." You go back to the first few verses, he talks about bringing Abraham out from the other side of the flood when they served other gods. He said, "Okay, if you think God is asking too much of you to serve Him, what are you going to do with the day? You just going to live like a lost person? You're just going to get up and go through the day without giving God a second thought? I mean, you're going to spend the day without ever opening your Bible, without ever spending time in prayer, without ever consulting God? I mean, you're just going to live the day like the lost people do, just get up, survive through the day, and go to bed at night? I mean, if you think He's asking too much, what are you going to do with the day? Are you just going to live like a lost person?" He gives a second choice. He said, "Were the gods your fathers on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell?" He warned them when they got in the land not to intermarry with those that are in there. This is a picture of a half-hearted Christian. He knows how to fit in with God's people, but also knows how to fit in with the world. I mean, you're just going to be a half-hearted Christian? I mean, you're going to go through the motions of everything you know a Christian ought to? I mean, you'll be at church and you'll say the right thing, but you get out in the world and I mean, you'll also fit in with that. Are you just going to be a half-hearted Christian? I mean, is that what you're going to do with your life tomorrow? I mean, you think God's asking too much? What are you going to do with the day God gives you tomorrow? And Joshua said, you can live like a lost man if you want to. You can be a half-hearted Christian if you want to. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Bible said they answered. And I want to take a look at they answered. And he gives these three choices. And verse number 17 and verse 16 said, the people answered, said, God forbid that we should... And said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up in our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. You know, they answered right. If I was to ask you tonight, don't you think because God's been so good to you, you ought to serve Him? And every Christian will respond by saying, you're right, that's right, we ought to serve Him. And so they said, you're right. God's been good to us. He's the one that brought us out. He's the one that delivered us. He's a good God. Therefore, we will serve Him. Look at verse number 19. Joshua said to the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn into your herd and consume you after they have done you good. Joshua turned around and said, no. God does not just want lip service. It's not a matter of just saying, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. How many times people say, that's right. Even coming to altar, that's it, man. We need to serve Him. But nothing ever changes in their life. And Joshua said, no, you can't serve Him. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. And if you just say lip service and then you do what you want, you're just going to anger Him. So you can't serve the Lord. He's looking for somebody that's serious about living for Him. They answered again, verse number 21, and the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And then from here, Joshua gives five things that are needed. If you're going to get up in the morning and say, dear God, I choose this day to serve you, there's five things that are needed if it's going to be a day of serving Him. Life is not made up of dreams you dream. Life is made up of the choices you make. I'll say over and over again. But to get up in the morning, one of the best choices you can make before you do anything else, before you grab your phone, your Facebook, to fall on your face beside your bed and say, dear God, I choose this day to serve you. It ought to be, first of all, the day of purpose. Look at verse 22. Joshua said to all the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. It ought to be a day of purpose. You know, Daniel purposed in his heart. And then everything Daniel did after that was on purpose because of what he purposed. So it ought to be a day of purpose, not just words, but dear God, I choose this day to serve you. And so everything I do after that on this day is because of that purpose I've made in my heart to serve Him. And to keep in mind, this is a day that He has given to me. I'll never claim it back. I've got one shot at this day. Dear God, I choose this day to serve You. It ought to be a day of purpose. You know, serving God doesn't just accidentally happen. But the purpose in your heart, no, He's given me this day. He's a good God to me. And I want to serve Him on this day. It ought to be a purpose. Verse 23. Now therefore put away, said He, the strange gods which are among you. It ought to be a day of purity. Now if I'm going to serve Him today, this ought to be a day of purity. And there ought to be some things that are not seen in my life today because I chose this day to serve Him. You know, the Bible did say He is a holy God. Did you catch that? He's a holy God. We live in this day. I'm about fed up to here with all this teach tolerance junk. Going across. God's not a tolerant God. He's a long-suffering God. He's a patient God. But He's not a tolerant God. He's not going to tolerate false religions. He's not going to tolerate sin. I think he said, be sure of your sin. We'll find God. He said, be deceived. God is not mocked. Once a man soweth, that's what he also wrote. The word tolerance in its definition means to allow something that is negative without opposition. Just the fact you have to tolerate something says right off the bat it's something wrong. You don't have to tolerate right things. But this whole thing, there's a danger. We in Arkansas, we drove through town. There was a great big pink house, kind of caught my eye, huge pink house. And I turned and I looked, and on the front porch there's like 12-foot drag queens cut out of plywood that are standing there, and a big banner across saying "Teach tolerance." And there's a danger in teaching tolerance. God's not a tolerant God; He's a holy God. But tolerance promotes sin. Holiness promotes righteousness. What needs taught to our young next generation is not tolerance. Long-suffering, yes. Patience, yes. Tolerance, no. He's not a tolerant God. He's a holy God. And when we promote tolerance, it promotes sin. Everybody's free to what they want to do in their own mind. By the way, that's exactly what the devil wanted to do to Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, in the day that you eat thereof, God does know you'll be as gods, little g, knowing good and evil. What he's saying is, you can be your own God. You can decide what's right and what's wrong. Don't let some God up there tell you what's right. You decide for yourself what's right and what's wrong. That's the whole premise of tolerance in this day and nation. It promotes sin, where holiness promotes righteousness. Tolerance turns good to evil, evil to good. Man, I remember reading that verse years ago, Isaiah 5:20, warned them to call evil good and good evil. And I thought, when would anyone ever do that? When would anyone ever call evil good and good evil? But we're living there. Tolerance does away with the need of salvation. Holiness shows you need to be born again. Tolerance says there's no sin. If there's no sin, there's no need for a Savior. There's no need for a Bible. There's no need for churches. But holiness promotes the fact we need to be born again, and we need a Bible, and we need Jesus, and we need church. Tolerance teaches live for self. Holiness teaches live for Christ. Yeah, yeah. Tolerance teaches love for sin and hatred of people. You'll find the tolerant crowd, they love sin, but they hate anyone that opposes them. Holiness teaches love for people and hatred of sin. We hate the sin, but I'm telling you, we love the people. We want to get them out of there because sin is destroying. And tolerance leads to an empty life, but holiness leads to a fulfilled, satisfied life. So I said, put away the strange God. It'll all be a day of purity. There's some things I can't do today because I chose this day to serve Him. There's some places I can't go on the internet today because I chose this day to serve Him. So I can't do that today. There's some words I can't use today. When I got saved, I learned a whole new vocabulary. Amen, hallelujah. Those were good words to learn. Yeah. I remember one time we were on the roof and a guy hit his thumb. He let out just a string of cuss words. Out a Democrat. Just let a whole string of bad words. And everybody said, what happened? He said, I hit my thumb with a hammer. I asked him later, why'd you have to say all those words? He said, it's the only way I could properly express myself. I said, well, you failed because everybody had to say, what'd you do? Try this next time. Ow! I hit my thumb with a hammer. Now you have properly expressed yourself. And everybody knows what took place. But there's some words I can't use today because I chose this day to serve Him. I can't have a cigarette today because I chose this day to serve Him. I can't drink liquor today because I chose this day to serve Him. I can't lose my temper today. Man, that was... Oh, I'm sorry. It was good preaching when it was everybody else, wasn't it? That was one of the worst things before I got saved. Man, I had a temper. And we'd say, man, you lost your temper. I said, no, I still got it. I'd be better off if I lost it. I get mad. Our band would be practicing, and my wife would say something, and I'd go out and take my guitar and slam it against a tree. I'd take my fist and punch it through the walls. And one time, I went to punch a hole in the wall, and I hit a stud. Yeah, yeah. My wife said, didn't break it, did you? I said, I think I did, you know. Yeah. That was terrible. That's one of the first things God took away from me when I got saved. You know, some things He takes away when you get saved. other things He wants you to choose to get rid of. Wouldn't it be good if He just took it all away? But sometimes He wants us to prove we love Him more than our sin. Temper's one thing He just took away. And sometimes my wife will even say, "Doesn't that bother you?" Yeah, yeah, it does. "Aren't you upset?" "Oh, I'm furious. I am furious." She said, "Well, you don't look at, on the inside, I am boiling on the inside. I'm boiling." You know, just that thing. Yeah. But I can't be unkind to my wife today, because I chose this day to serve Him. You know, that young lady has one life to live on this earth. Chose to spend it with me. One life. And she chose to spend it with me. If we ever get old, everybody that laughed is dismissed right now. No, I won't say we get wheelchairs. Mine's going to have a motor so I can still catch her. Run into her wheelchair, we'll fall down and push that button. "Help, I've fallen, I can't get up." And then I'll say, "Wait a minute, give me about 5 minutes." And I'll roll over, give her some sugar, and then they can help us back up again. I kiss my wife when we wake up, and I kiss her when we leave, and I kiss her when we come back. And we get in an elevator, I'm kissing Mama. I mean, that door's shut, I'm laying one on her. Somebody else gets on the elevator, I see what floor they push. I push the next one, whether it's mine or not, because I'm kissing Mama on the elevator. One of my children said, "Dad, you understand they've got cameras in them elevators?" I said, "Well, they're getting a shot because I'm kissing Mama." And it's funny, every time I just kind of walk over to her and she'll just get this little grin on her face. I said, "Come on, pucker up. Daddy's coming in." You know? I'm tempted to go give her one right now. Anyway. I had a guy one time, preacher, said that video games and all were demon possessed. I said, he said, "Yeah." He said, "I played one, and when I got done, I had a strong urge to play it again. It's demon possessed." I said, "You ever think it might have been fun?" I said, "By your definition, my wife is demon possessed. I kissed her the other night, had strong urge to kiss her again. It was just fun. I'm just telling you, it was just fun." Too much information, Levi? Sorry, son. Sorry, son. Sorry, son. He's having a hard time. Yes, he is. She got one life to live, and she chose to spend it with me. At the end of our life, I want her to be able to look at me and say, "That was a good choice." So I can't. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. That's where we get a word sharp. I can't mistreat her today because I chose this day to serve the Lord. There's some places I can't go today, some things I can't do because I chose this day to serve Him. So it ought to be a day of purity because this is the day of serving Him. And He is a holy God. And this is the day of serving Him. So there's some things I can't do. I can't do it today because I chose this day to serve Him. And places I can't go today because I chose this day to serve Him. Things I can't do, words I can't use because I chose this day to serve Him. So since it's going to be a day of serving the Lord, it ought to be a day of purity. Can I say thirdly, verse 23? "Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." It ought to be a day of pursuing. You say, what do you mean pursuing? That means to chase somebody. I pursued my wife. Finally won her over. I'm still pursuing her, by the way. But a day of inclining your heart to the Lord. You know, years ago, I don't know who invented this thing, but there's this big soft chair. It's got a lever on the side. You pull the lever, the feet come out, the head goes back. There's enough room on each side for a grandchild. Never was room for children, but there's room for a grandchild on each side. And it's called a recliner. To recline means to lean back. To incline means to lean forward. Did you know the Bible said when we pray, He inclines His ear to our prayers? When we pray, God actually leans forward to listen. That just amazes me. That He's in the secret place waiting for us. He talked about when you're in your closet, pray to the Father, which is in secret. He's already there. Wait, He's waiting to meet with us. That just blows my mind. It should be us somewhere waiting to meet with Him, but He's waiting to meet with us. And the sad thing is, we don't show up. But it'll be a day of drawing my heart closer to God today. Because I chose this day to serve Him. That means on this day, I do have time for my Bible. Because I chose this day to serve Him. I do have time for prayer because I chose this day to serve Him. How many of you, at the end of the day, you got things on your list you wanted to get done that you did not get done? Anybody? Most of us? I cannot get done in a day everything I want to get done. But I can get done in a day everything that God expects me to get done. Because He knew I had 24 hours to do it. So if I can't get done everything I want to get done, it means I put some things on the list too. And so it's a matter of setting priorities. And if there's anything that has to wait for tomorrow, it ought not be anything that God puts on the list. It ought to be something I've added to the list. But too often throughout the day, people say, I just didn't have time for my Bible today, and I didn't have time for my prayer today, and I didn't have time for family today because we're involved in all of these other things. No. This is a day of pursuing. This is a day of drawing my heart closer to Him. I want Him to speak to my heart today. I want a relationship to be stronger today than it was yesterday. I want that in my married life every day that goes by. I want to know her better. I want to get closer to Him. I don't want to just endure my marriage. I want to enjoy my marriage. And the same with my Christian life. I want my heart to be closer to God today. So if I chose this day to serve Him, it's a day of pursuing. I want to incline my heart to Him. Somebody said, how much Bible should we read? And I'm not opposed to you reading so much Scripture or whatever. But you know, the bottom line is that God speaks to you. I'd say read till He speaks. And when He speaks, just meditate on that thing all day long. Let that thing soak in. And the bottom line is just building a relationship with Him, getting closer. So it ought to be a day of pursuing, a day of inclining your heart into the Lord. He said, if any man will come after me, that's what we're doing. You come unto Him for salvation, but now we're coming after Him. We want as close to Him as we possibly can. Purposefully draw my heart closer to God. Verse 24. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord will we serve, and His voice will we obey. Ought to be a day of performing. They said, we're going to serve Him. And whatever He says, that's what we'll do. It ought to be a day of performing. I chose this day to serve Him. So if He speaks to my heart about something, I'm going to purposely do it today because I chose this day to serve Him. Now let me say this. If you mess up somewhere throughout the day, don't throw the rest of the day away. Just stop. Say, dear God, I'm sorry. That should not have happened in my life today because I chose this day to serve You. Forgive me and help me to spend the rest of the day serving You. Don't throw the whole day away because you stumbled somewhere. I'll be a day of performing, obeying His voice when He speaks to you. Listening to Him. Yeah. And then fifthly, it ought to be a day of preparation. Verse 25, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. A covenant means they bound together about something. And set them a statute and an ordinance at Shechem. The word statute means a set time of doing something. The word ordinance means a custom of, or a way of going about something. What he's saying is we ought to bind together that we've got a set time that we're going to purposefully do this again. A day of preparation means at the end of the day, you say, dear God, this was a good day. I sure enjoyed walking with You. Help me to make this choice again tomorrow. Matter of fact, read on. Verse number 28, so Joshua let the people depart, every man to his inheritance. Came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. The servant of the Lord died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, the Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord. Now watch this. All the days, each and every day of the elders of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known the works of the Lord that he had done in Israel. It's a matter of just making a choice every day. I'm 24 hours away from blowing everything. All it takes is one day not to choose to serve Him. So, preacher, I don't know if I could do this. Just get up in the morning and choose that day to serve Him. When that day's over, you're going to find, man, this was a good day. God, help me make this choice again tomorrow. We got that sign, choose you this day whom you will serve. We think it means someday we made a choice that we're going to serve the Lord. But no, it's not a choice just made on this day, but a choice made for this day. You ought to put maybe on your mirror somewhere, did I choose this day to serve the Lord? And I'm telling you, to make a difference in our lives if we just choose each day to serve Him. Let me say something to you. If you've not been born again, there's no way you can serve Him. You could try, but it's going to be miserable because there's nobody on the inside to help you do what's right. You can't incline your heart to Him if He's not there to begin with. And if you've not been born again today, y'all choose this day. I mean, you know what it takes to get saved? It takes conviction. God deal with your heart. It takes you admitting that you know you're a sinner and lost without Christ. He's your only hope. It takes repenting of your sin. Change your mind. Turn from your sin to God. And then just believing what Jesus did on Calvary is sufficient to pay your sin debt and just trust Him. I don't understand sometimes when people admit, I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell. I know He's the only way. And then not come to Him. I don't understand why Christians, we're afraid to run to God, but we're not afraid to run from Him. I don't understand that. So, preacher, how do you grow it? Dear God, I choose this day to serve You. And so there's some things I can't do today, and I've got to draw my heart to Him today. Then tomorrow, just try it again. You said you ever mess up? More times I won't admit. But I just fall down and say, dear God, I'm sorry. That shouldn't have been. Because I chose this day to serve You, and I'm so sorry. Help me spend the rest of the day serving You. Yeah. So what are you going to do with your tomorrow? If it seems evil unto you, if you think it's unreasonable, I mean, after all He did for you, if you think it's unreasonable to serve Him, if serving Him is inconvenient for you, then what are you going to do? You going to live like the lost world? You just going to spend your life being a half-hearted Christian? You can do that if you want to. That's for me in my house. I want to choose the day to serve Him. Father, thank You for the night You've given to us. Thank You for Your Bible. What an amazing book. Dear God, one of the most familiar verses, popular verses in the Word of God. And yet I think by and by we've missed the real message of it. Joshua was 110, about to die. He wasn't just making that choice. What are you going to do with this day? God's been good to you. He said you ought to serve Him. But if it seems evil to you, if you think He's asking, if it's that unreasonable, unjust, inconvenient, then choose who you will serve. The gods your father served on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites whose land you dwell? Is that what we're going to do after you've been so good to us? Dear God, help us just to choose each day to serve You. Lord, it would be a great victory in some people's lives with things that they battle if they would just take each day and choose to serve You. Then make it through this day and do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Bless tonight. It helps some marriages to make that choice each day. Do that work only You can. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.